From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. You can find us there. You can find out everything about us, pretty much, except for my shoe size. I don't think that's listed on there. Lots of things going on around the state. In the first hour, we talked with Holly Vaughn from the Michigan DNR about the new teal season, early teal season coming to Michigan, and very excited about this. The 1st through the 7th of September, we'll have the opportunity to hunt early teal. Waterfowler is going to be very happy about that. I myself am very happy about that. Again, you can find that on the website, wildmichiganradio.com. Also on there, you can find links to our friends like Scentlock out of Michigan, Lucky Buck, our sponsor here on Michigan, the Wild Michigan Talk Network. And they've been working with us for the past 3 years now. And the results that we have seen using Lucky Buck and various spots around the properties that we get to hunt, absolutely phenomenal. Deer are coming in, they're staying, they're partaking, healthy deer herds, and man, antler growth. Again, with Lucky Buck and the year we're having, awesome antler growth. And we've got some pictures up on our Facebook page from some friends that have sent them to us as well. You can also find on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, links to some of the events going on and our friends at the God's Country Gobblers chapter is going to have their banquet of the National Wild Turkey Federation August 12th. That's this coming Tuesday at the Eagle Eye Banquet Facility on Chandler Road in East Lansing. Doors are going to open up at 6 o'clock, dinner at 7:30, and you can get a hold of my good friend Steve Sharp at 517-566-8599. Again, that information is at wildmichiganradio.com. And we're getting towards the peak of camping season as we are out about midsummer. The kids are going to go back to school in September, and then fall comes on. But you know what? You can take a few tips with you when you go camping. Maybe, you know, cooking. You want to do some cooking, and Dutch oven cooking is becoming something very popular. I think it was last year we had Mark Hansen on from MarksBlackPot.com. He is all about the Dutch oven recipes. And it's not like the Dutch oven that I use at home that I throw in my oven, you know, to cook things. Different style. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. And I was looking at your Facebook page, and it's kind of funny. You know, I like to find out where our friends are from because, look, we love Michigan. We have a million things here, but sometimes we have to look outside of Michigan to get great experts. You're from Terre Haute, and you live in Idaho? Or Utah, rather, I'm sorry?
Utah, correct. Yeah, I grew up in Terre Haute, Indiana, and was just back for a visit, actually, a few weeks ago.
What made you go to Utah?
I was 24, and it was time to grow up and leave the house, and my sister had moved out to Utah to go to school, so she said, come on out, I'll put you up while you look for a house and a job. So,
And did you find either?
Yeah, and I did, and then found a wife, and then we had kids, and
Excellent. Now
I'm a Utahan.
And I'm glad you said that, because I never know how to say Utah, Utahites, Utahan. I like that.
In Indiana, it's very easy. You just say you're a Hoosier.
So. Exactly. For Michigan, we're Michiganders, and I don't like Michiganians. So that being said, you've written some books about black pot. Let's talk about black pot for beginners. You have to start with the proper Dutch oven when you want to cook with black pot over coals. Describe that to me, if you would, please.
Yeah. Well, let me say something very careful, though. A lot of people, you know, will ask me, you know, what should I look for in a Dutch oven? What should I do? What kind of stuff, you know? And frankly, it's not quite so critical, okay? I always have to keep in mind, in the back of my head, that my pioneer ancestors walked across the plains without the fine precision pieces of cast iron that we have today, mm-hmm. right? So there's stuff that works and then there's really high quality stuff. And you can make delicious meals in either. The ones that are very well made are a little easier to use, but you see what I'm saying?
Oh, no, sure, I get it.
Okay, so having said that, there's two basic kinds of Dutch ovens, and you mentioned that before. One is the kind that you put in your home oven, and one is the kind you use outdoors. And the one big critical difference that'll tell you which is the ones you use outdoors have the legs.
Okay, of course, yeah, you're not going to get a good rest in your oven with legs.
Right. And the reason it has the legs is because that lifts it up above the coals. So if you have charcoal briquettes, for example, in a circle, you put the Dutch oven on top of it, the legs will keep them suspended above those coals. And they also usually have a rim, a lip, around the lid to keep the coals on the lid and keep the ash from shaking off into your food when you lift the lid to check it and stir it.
Now, with that being said, the lid, kind of a lip, like an upward lip around the top to put coals on.
Right. So, yeah. So that says, okay, this is an outdoor Dutch oven. It's intended to use outdoors with coals. It's the indoor Dutch ovens will just have a flat or a maybe slightly curved, smooth lid without that rim.
Not conducive to keeping coals on for cooking and making things even, so to speak.
Right, right. Okay. So you have those two types. There's also two materials commonly used for a Dutch oven.
Okay.
Aluminum and cast iron. Now, cast iron has some advantages. It's going to distribute the heat very evenly. It's going to maintain the heat longer. And it's also a very traditional material for the Dutch oven. However, it's heavy.
Not something you're going to put in a backpack by any stretch.
Yeah. The aluminum, on the other hand, it's more prone to hot spots because it doesn't distribute the heat as evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it can't maintain. I've heard stories of people with aluminum Dutch ovens actually melting them if they get their fires too hot.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's some issues with that. Whereas cast iron is you're never going to get it hot enough to even warp. Okay.
Sure.
Also, aluminum does not need to be seasoned, coated with that burned black coating, because it doesn't rust ever. And of course, the big deal is it's lighter. So a lot of backpackers will use the aluminum. Now, I hear stories of canoers and things also preferring the aluminum for the lightness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I do all of my cooking in cast iron because I do like the heat distribution, and I do like that's very traditional. But I've tasted some delicious meals that have come out of aluminum, too.
All right, we're speaking with Mark Hansen from marksblackpot.com. Mark, hang on the line. We're going to talk a little bit more about cooking with a Dutch oven, especially for beginners, as I would be one of them.
Terrific.
All right, we're going to speak with Mark Hansen, marksblackpot.com. We find a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck, Deer Mineral of Osseo, Michigan. Get the Lucky Buck out, keep those sites refreshed, and you can find out all the details at lucky-buck.com and on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Coming up, more with Mark Hansen.
I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Lee and Tiffany recently had a stop at Bass Pro Shops in Michigan over in Auburn Hills. Missed out the opportunity. Didn't get a chance to go see them, but I know they were in town. Now they were thinking about us, but we'll get them back on the show here very, very soon as things start to heat up for them. And I know Lee's been on the tractor doing a lot of stuff with the food plots, but again, you know, we're gonna talk with them, catch up, and see what they're up to with their seasons of the crush on the Outdoor Channel. But right now we're speaking with Mark Hansen from MarksBlackPot.com, Black Pot for Beginners. And before we get to some of the tricks of cooking with a Dutch oven on coals. Mark, you had one more tip for finding the correct Dutch oven for campfire cooking.
Yeah. So when you're in the store and you're shopping, or you're at a yard sale and you found one and you're thinking of buying it, set it down with a lid on a nice flat surface, and take your finger and press down on the rim of the lid all the way around. Okay? If you can move it, if it rocks back and forth in any spot, that's not as quality casting.
Okay? I can see what you're saying with that, because what's going to happen is you're going to lose moisture within your cooking area inside, and that could probably potentially dry out what you're making.
Well, yes and no. You're exactly right. You will lose moisture. It will vent more steam. I've cooked in my day, some delicious meals in Dutch ovens that had pretty rocking lids, if you'll pardon the phrase. But on the other hand, my 12-inch Lodge Dutch oven doesn't rock at all, doesn't move, doesn't do anything at all, and it works for me consistently every time. So it's a question of what's good and what's better.
Okay, Lodge being the brand that you prefer with those.
Exactly. Lodges cost a little more because they pay a lot more attention to the smoothness of the casting and the precision of the casting.
Now, let's go to your book, Black Pot for Beginners. That would be me. I would be the person interested in that book. Let's talk about, you know, getting started cooking, conditioning your Dutch oven. Uh-huh. Is this going to be the same way? Because I love cast iron, love cooking with cast iron. Are we conditioning these to begin with, you know, warming them up, greasing the inside?
That's basically the process. Now, the cool thing is that most modern Dutch oven companies, most modern makers, will pre-season their Dutch ovens now. So you can buy it off the shelf and take it home and use it.
Nice.
Pretty much. There's a few still that don't, but Lodge, Camp Chef, those are the ones that they already look black in the store. You just buy it, you take it home, and you use it. And maybe once a year you might want to re-season it, but pretty much just using it well is going to keep the seasoning on. What they call it, the patina.
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
Now, there are still a few, particularly ones that are cast in China, that don't come pre-seasoned. In that case, what you do is, I like to do it in my outdoor gas grill because it's going to kick up some smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it in your regular indoor stove and just open up the windows. But you get it hot up to about 400 degrees and put the Dutch oven inside so that it heats up for, 15 minutes or so. Then, and wearing gloves, by the way, because this is going to be dangerous, take it out and coat it with some kind of oil. I prefer Crisco because it melts on very nicely. Of course, at 400 degrees, it'll melt on very quickly. So give it a pretty liberal coating and then put it back in and coat the outside and the lid, too. And then bake it inside there in your gas grill or in your regular oven at 400 for another 15, 20 minutes. Take it out, coat it again, bake it, coat it two or three times, two or three layers, if you will, and that'll get you a nice, shiny black coating. And then every time you use it, of course, you're going to be heating it up again, and it'll get another baked on layer of carbonized oils.
Mark Hansen is our guest from marksblackpot.com. Mark, there's really no limitations as to what you can make in a Dutch oven. Camping. I mean, you even do breads, which is difficult and delicate at the same time.
Delicious cakes and desserts. Fancy meats. I cooked a really fancy meal all in my Dutch ovens once with a crown roast of pork, and I can still remember opening up the Dutch oven and the steam wafted up, and there you could see the crown roast bone sticking up, and it looked so elegant. It was really amazing.
Sounds usually about this time I'm recording the show, and I'm hungry now. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that.
No problem.
So
really, you're right. There is very little out there that cannot be cooked in a Dutch oven.
What about fish?
I've made baklava. There's just an amazing variety of things you can make in a Dutch oven. Lasagna.
What about cooking fish, Mark? Because that's one thing, you know, I mean, we think of meats all the time and poultries. But what about cooking fish in there?
Oh, I love fish in my Dutch ovens. There's a number of different fish dishes I've done. One, the simplest, is blackened salmon.
Ooh.
Where you get a good, nice blackened seasoning, and you have to really superheat the Dutch oven, though. Probably to about 500 degrees. And then with it extremely hot like that, I and the seasoning on the fish, then I just lay the fish on the bottom of the Dutch oven and let it sear for a couple of minutes, flip it over, let it sear again, and then I take it off the coals and let the residual heat in the Dutch oven finish cooking the fish through. And that's how I assure that it doesn't actually get blackened.
Right. Yeah, that was me with some chicken on the grill yesterday. Wish I would have gone Dutch oven style rather than what I did. But you have four books.
I saw a t-shirt once that said, it's not burned, it's Cajun.
And you know what? I'll have to explain that next time because it was Cajun, as far as I'm concerned. Mark Hansen, marksblackpot.com. You have the four books on your website, Dutch Oven Breads, which was the most recent one we talked about here on the show, Around the World in a Dutch Oven, Black Pot for Beginners, which is probably going to be my best bet, and, of course, The Best of Black Pot, and those all available on your website. But, Mark, I appreciate you joining us again and getting up early as you were out in Utah today, and we look forward to hearing more from you and checking out some recipes there as well.
Thank you very much.
As always, man, I appreciate it. Mark Hansen from marksblackpot.com talking a little bit about Dutch oven cooking here on Wild Michigan. Next week on the show, as we promised, we're going to talk with Bill Hawk, getting you ready for waterfowl season, September 1st. We're going to talk about some early goose tactics, some teal tactics, and then maybe getting ready for the latter waterfowl season in October. Lots more things coming your way. Going to talk Bubba Blade next here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Another weekend here on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, is where you can find us. You can find all kinds of links on there, find our podcasts on there, find out what we've got coming up and where we're going to be. Very simple. It's just one place, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks to our friend Holly Vaughn from the Michigan DNR to talk about early teal season. Also, Bill Hawk, who talked with us about what early teal season will mean to us here in Michigan, those who like to waterfowl. That was all in the first hour of the show, and Mark Hansen kicked off the second hour of the show talking about Dutch oven cooking over the campfire as we are, you know, pretty much at the peak of camping season, winding down, going into fall. But when it comes to being outdoors in Michigan, well, we got 20% of the world's fresh water surrounding the state. We probably have more lakes than Minnesota and definitely more than Wisconsin. So, look, we like to fish, but finding the right gear for filleting. Look, I am a miserable example of somebody trying to fillet a fish. Why? Because of my knives. I buy a knife that's good for a while, and then it's not good after a while. So finding the right knife at a decent cost has always been very difficult. Now, a couple of years ago, we were at ICAST, which is the industry standard for fishing trade shows down in Florida, and we saw the guys at Bubba Blade. Well, you know, look, the name kind of lends itself to, okay. We looked at the knives, they were very cool, and now all of a sudden they've exploded on the market. Still don't own one, but I'm curious. I'm curious about the Bubba Blade, and John from the Bubba Blade joins me now. And John, I got to say, it's a lot of fun just to say Bubba Blade, because it just kind of bounces off off your lips when you say it. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. John, you've taken the industry by storm, and when I talked to you earlier in the week about having you on the show, I met you guys your first year at ICAST, and like I said, I'll be honest, I kind of went, okay, you know, I don't get it. But I watched the demonstration, I saw the flexibility of the blade, but what kind of threw me back a little bit was the size of the blade, because many of my friends and I, we've always used these long, thin fillet knives, which I guess are fine for smaller fish, for panfish and stuff. But when it comes to like walleye that have that tough outer, salmon that are big and thick, that's not the knife you want to use. And this is where I thought to myself, oh, 3 years later, wow, maybe we should talk to the Bubba Blade guys. So tell me a little bit about how this all got started for you guys.
Well, you know, we just were not real happy with the knives that are on the market for us out in the West Coast. So I set on this journey probably about 5 years ago. I decided for some reason that I'd try and build one. And I thought, if nothing else, I'd just keep them on the boat and hand them out to the my friends and my clients that came on the boat. So we started with the 9 Stiffy, and that was designed just for cutting off the heads of big tuna and stuff like that. And then the 9 Flex, because we're cutting down some pretty good sized fish out there. So that's how the whole thing really came about. And I took out a couple ads to see if anybody wanted them. This is in December of 11, and we sold right out of them. And it's been going crazy ever since. You say I took the industry by storm, but I think they took me by storm. I had no idea this was going to happen.
Now, wait a minute. You say out west, California, but your accent, pardon the expression, does not scream California.
No, I'm from Boston, actually, and the corporate office is in Tucson, Arizona. We moved out here some years ago. One of my daughter had a medical problem, asthma, actually, so we took the cure, came out here, and now we do all our fishing out of San Diego.
Okay. Well, that explains volumes then. So Boston, big community for fishing as well.
Sure, yeah. I was brought up in Cape Cod and got a lot of blues down there. In fact, I took the kids down to the vineyard, and we fished with the... They have a big derby down there that starts in September, I believe, and runs for a month. It's 30 days. They get 3,000 or 4,000 people that come in. They give out fantastic prizes. And we went out with the captain that runs the whole thing, fished for fluke and everything else. In fact, there's a video of it on the website.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Bubba Blade, because the handle itself... lends to some closer looks, because you have a nice handle constructed well, but thumb positioning on side and on the back, above where the tang would be inside the handle, overlooked by a lot of companies, but yet it seems to be something so obvious.
Well, yeah, I mean, I almost thought that the people that design these fillet knives have never really filleted a fish. I mean, San Diego. You can't really cut down a fish legally in the bay, so you have to cut it down outside. And there's always a swell out there or something rolling, So these other knives that we use are pretty dangerous, so I wanted to build a guard into it and, put some thumb pads so you could, a lot of guys reach over the blade and put their fingers on the blade to get control of the knife, which is kind of crazy. So we tried to avoid that problem by doing that oversized handle and the trigger grip and the thumb positions, and it's worked out pretty well, actually.
It has. Now, give me some idea as to some of the traits of the handle, because it's rubber looking, but it looks kind of hard. I've seen them in person, but you know, sometimes a fillet knife, your hands are wet, obviously, and they get slippery.
Yeah, it's designed out of a rubber that's designed to get sticky when wet. It comes out of Houston, actually. And that's one of the great properties of the knife, you know. So when your hands are all bloody and stuff like that, you can still get a good firm on it. It just won't squirt out of your hand or slip out of your hand. And it's, you know, it's an oversized handle designed that way, so you can really get a hold of the thing. And it's not a hard feel, and it's not a real soft feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll find that anybody that picks up their knife, it's a real comfortable feel. We spent a fair amount of money with a product designer getting the shape of that thing right so it fits in your hand really, really comfortable. And, you know, people tell us all the time they cut down 200-300 fish in one session and their hands don't hurt, literally.
You know, when you're cutting through a walleye, I mean, you know, like I said, a very tough exterior, or working your way across a salmon, especially some of these charter boat captains, or for those of us that are able to get out and do it, it gets kind of tiring. And, you know, with a skinny fillet knife, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. You know, and I'm kind of like you. I really am not very good at filleting fish, so I designed this for the weekend war, you know. And I remember the first time I went to use the one of the prototypes on a piece of fish here in Tucson, which is, you know, cost a fortune. My wife didn't want me to touch it because she thought I'd screw it up, you know, skinning the thing. And I skinned it perfectly, and I was like, wow, that is pretty good, you know.
Now, trust me. Look, people see me with a fillet knife, and they go, put the knife down and step away from the fish.
Yeah, I've been told that myself, you know. But fortunately, I can actually do it. I did some, for the first time in a long time, we have bluefin and yellowtail and yellowfin running, you know, probably 10 miles outside of San Diego right now. The fish is unbelievable. So we went out and got some bluefin and yellowtail and cut those down. And that bluefin, you know, that skin is really tough.
Sure, sure.
My favorite is, of all the knives, is the 9 Flex. I like that wide blade. I think it makes it easier to skin and cut with because of the width of the blade. You know, the favorite on the website right now is the 9 Tapered, which is a familiar-looking knife. But I like that 9 Flex. And, you know, to me, and I used them both on the fish, and I was just able to do a much easier job with that 9 Flex.
Now, how many different styles did you start out with? Did you just start out with one for the Bubba blade?
We started out with two. We started out with the 9 Stiffy, which was actually kind of a mistake for the prototypes we got back, but people liked it so much we kept it. Then we have the 9 Flex. And the 9 Stiffy, you know, you can see some videos of guys cutting down 200-pound tunas with them, and it really hacks right through that. There's absolutely no flex to it. And we also sell a ton of those to hunters to cut down deer and elk. You know, they like it because they can get through a deer or an elk without having to hone the blade back up.
All right, we're going to speak more with John from the Bubba Blade, bubbablade.com, a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and we're going to find out about some of the new products coming your way here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Wild Michigan Talk Network. I think in honor of our current guest, John from Bubba Blade, we're going to change it over to Wicked Michigan. Oh, man, talking about the Bubba Blade, having fun. It's more than about fishing with you guys. And I'm looking at some of the products on your website at bubbablade.com. You have the Woody, a 7-inch blade hunting knife as well, but it's got the same handle.
Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of build these things per request of the customer coming in and asking for it. I guess if they ask enough, I'll make one. And, you know, the last one we did was the 12-inch, which actually sells a lot, the 12-inch fillets. And then we decided that, you know, because we do sell a lot to hunters. They love the 7-inch for the turkeys, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was just at a Wild Turkey Federation banquet.
Excellent.
Where they were giving the knife away. And they just go crazy for that. And so we decided to, you know, this was one TV show that we sponsor, and the great partners, Wade Middleton at Carrico TV is on NBC. I don't know if you know him or not, but they're, they have a great show there. And I work with those guys and all the hunters I know and come up with these designs. And so we came up with the Woody, the first one. We have another one coming out that's a smaller version of the Woody. It'll be out in about a month or so. That has the handle reduced to 4 inches and the blade reduced to 4 inches. And I got some footage on that the other day, and people going crazy for it. And then, yeah, they wanted a camp knife, so we built the Whacker, you know.
Right.
Which will take care of most anything, you know, in your yard or out of your yard. And then we have the skinning knife, the Chubby, and then the one called the Bayou, which is pretty popular down in Louisiana now.
Well, yeah, you lend a name something like that, they're instantly going to gravitate towards it,
yeah.
Which I think is perfect.
Yeah, we have another one coming out, too, which is the Chef's Knife, which was huge at ICAST this year. And it has all the same, you know, the whole point of the building the knife in the beginning was to build a safer handle, honestly. And my first thought was to have ceramic blades, but they're very expensive and they chip very easily and there's no flex to them, you know. So after we had the prototypes of the handle, everyone went bonkers for that. We decided to put the best steel we could do on there, and so that's why we have that, you know, high carbon steel, which is really gives you your edge retention. And you have to harden it up to a certain level to do it. So we're the only ones that do that, and you know they're a little firmer than your average fillet knife. You know they're a little stiffer. They're not as sloppy as some of the other brands out there, and we built them that way. You know, we built them that way because we're saltwater guys. But, you know, there's a guy called me, about last year, and he had stopped using all his electric knives. Called me from Dallas. He was a crappie guide, and his videos are on the website. And they had stopped using their electric knives and started using the 9 tapered flex instead. So we went down there and shot a video, and he's, you know, cutting down these little crappie with his big knife, but he just slayed them. And then we worked with him a little bit on the 9 tapered flex. Now, that's his favorite knife for the crappie, too.
Now, on the website, and I haven't looked ahead of this, so I'm just going to ask, are there videos or will there be videos on use of the Bubba blades?
Oh, yeah. We have over 60 videos, and we've had a couple million views so far on all different types. So if you need to know how to fillet a fluke to a tuna... I don't think we have any walleye on there yet, but I'll get up there someday and do a video. Or if somebody wants to send me one, I'll put it on there. But, there's all how-tos on there. It's all how-tos.
That is important. I'm looking at your deer one. It must be in Texas because it looks kind of flat.
No, that's actually on the border of Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Out there with a, it's a little dangerous out there. So these guys stayed in tents. I wasn't that brave. I stayed in Tombstone in a hotel. But that's actually where there's a lot of bringing the illegals over and stuff like that.
Yeah, that you know, hunting around places like where my dad's from, Laredo, Texas, not terribly conducive to your health anymore.
No, not really recommended. It didn't seem to bother these guys, but they were also heavily armed. So.
Well, you know, there's that too. But Bubba Blade, let's talk about price points real quick. I'm looking at your website, BubbaBlade.com. I'm not seeing anything over $70.
No, I think the only one is the survival knife might be a little bit more, but everything is, we try and keep all the prices down on everything.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Sale price $69.95. So, again, you know, you're getting a quality product. One that I'm going to go out and get now because I've been through this. And that's the cool thing about the show. We get to talk to the people that invented it and find out why.
No, that's exactly why. Yeah, no, I didn't set out to do this, but you know.
What do you see happening now that you've got, you know, so many different SKUs going on in some of the places like Bass Pro Shops and other places across the country? Where does it go from now?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I'm going to continue the line. You know, what I've been asked to do by the Bass Pros and academies is to make a line of tools with the quality that I can make them with kind of my patented handle to make them safer, make them better. And I guess the bottom line is I could put out a great product at a less price because I don't have 250 people to feed over here in my company.
Mm-hmm.
I just have real high standards, and I don't build them at a price point. You know, I build them, and whatever the price is the price. And you know, Bass Pro and all these people take them, and I'll tell you, they don't make a lot as much money as they'd like to on these things, but they carry them because people want them.
Sure. Speaking with John from Bubba Blade here on Wild Michigan, you can find a link to Bubba Blade on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Where did the name come from, Bubba Blade?
Well, you know, I lived in Texas for 14 years, you know, and I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and we were talking about this knife, and I just told him, I said, you know, I'm going to call this thing the Bubba Blade so everybody gets it. And he's like, I like that. I was like, huh, you do?
Whoops.
I'm like, yeah, it was one of those things. And, you know, a friend of mine designed the logo on a napkin, you know, and on a trip on my boat out to Catalina to do a little fishing. And it was kind of one of those deals. So I went and bought all the URLs 2 years before I even had a knife.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, get it now because somebody overhears you and all of a sudden there's a website that you have to go and buy the name that you come up with.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's about all there was to it, you know. And I, you know, Bubba's a great name. It's a generic name for a male, you know, a young male.
Sure.
And I thought it was something that people liked and he liked it and it just sounds kind of cool, you know.
No, I agree completely, and it's very cool to have talked to you about this. You know, I've seen them firsthand. I've not purchased one yet. I'm going to go out, and I'm not kidding, going to go out and get one because you've got a ton of them on the website. I can just go there, and I don't have to shop. But anything else coming up that you want to cover real quick? Anything we might have missed?
No, I think that's it. You know, I think everybody should check out that chef's knife for sure because – you know, it's going to be at a, you know, the same price point, and it's just a great piece of equipment, you know.
Now, I'll definitely be looking at that turkey blade, the one they use for turkey hunting as well, because we've got a banquet with our friends with the National Wild Turkey Federation coming up. Our friends at God's Country Gobblers are going to be doing an event August 12th here in Lansing. And if you want to check that out, go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com. If you're in the area, please stop by. I'll be there, along with a couple other friends from Wild Michigan. We'll be putting that out. And John, this has been a fun experience. I have to be honest with you. You know, like I said, I talked with you earlier in the week about coming on the show and apologizing profusely that I didn't get to be the first guy to get you on the radio. But, you know, here we are.
Oh, I appreciate you having me.
Not at all. Not at all. And I'm looking forward to finding out more about the Bubba Blade. And hang on the line. I want to talk to you off air as well. So if you don't mind a couple of minutes, I'll be getting back with you here right away.
Sure thing.
All right. Lots of things going on around the website, wildmichiganradio.com. Trail cam pictures, man. Would love to see them. Send them to me, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. If you have Lucky Buck pictures from your site, again, send them to us on our website, outdoormailbag@gmail.com, and all available at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lots of things coming up. Next week on the show, again, we're going to start talking about waterfowl hunting. Going to talk a little bit about some shooting. Why wait till November 14th to get sighted in? We're going to be talking about that over the next couple of weeks here. Talk about fall turkey hunting. I know you want to smack me because I'm talking about fall already. Why not be prepared? We'll talk fishing. We'll get with David A. Rose. We'll get with Lance Valentine. We'll find out about walleye. Lots of things coming your way here on Wild Michigan. Again, wildmichiganradio.com is our website. And that is your direct link to us on all things Wild Michigan. So keep it here. Get out of the Michigan woods and water. Go hunting and fishing. Please take the kids with you. Educate them. Get them ready. Hunter safety courses are linked on our website as well. Get them ready for the 2014 hunting season. It is upon us in 3 weeks. Can you believe it? It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.